This is Stop Feeding the Predators, and today we are talking with a lady whose child was sexually assaulted when she was young. And is it okay if I use your first name?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sally, thank you for coming and interviewing with me. And no graphic details, you know, terms like he hurt her or something like that is sufficient. Nobody
right.
needs to know graphic details.
Okay.
If I ask you anything that's not comfortable, just tell me, I don't feel like talking about that.
Okay.
And that's perfectly fine. Okay.
Because
it's a difficult subject. Sexual assault is a difficult subject at all. But when you're talking about your own family, it suddenly is enormous.
That is true. That is true.
And that's a big reason why Stop Feeding the Predators got started, because in my experience, people don't know what to do. It's not that they're dumb. It's not that they're, you know, uneducated. It's that they don't know what to do because people don't talk about it.
Exactly. They don't know who to notify, who to tell, who to trust.
Right.
Right.
Right. You know, you're always hearing about, you know, have a safety plan for if your house catches fire.
Right.
Or what do you do for a home invasion? Or what do you do in case of a car accident? But there are no public service announcements saying, hey, if your child's been sexually assaulted, here's what you should do.
Right, exactly.
There aren't
right.
any, because
right.
people don't want to talk about it. It's an uncomfortable thing. It's a difficult thing. And it has such a rippling impact on families and lives that it's just too big to talk about.
Right.
And I'm trying to change that. I'm trying to help people realize that it's too big not to talk about.
Right. And it is so widespread. It is unreal. You hear of it every night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And luckily, you know, the media is starting to talk about it a little bit more. But what I've heard lately is focus on human trafficking. And what they're failing to discuss is the children that are sexually assaulted every day by family members, you know, family, friends, whatever. Those are the kids that there's no resource for.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
There's groups that'll help women that have been trafficked, children that have been trafficked, and things like that. But our goal is to reach the everyday kid.
Right.
And to help parents understand it's not your fault.
That's a main point right there. To have the parents and the children connect where they can tell each other what went on, and the parents can actually believe them.
Right.
That was the problem I had.
Right.
Yeah. And so going way back, yeah.
Right. Okay, so going way back,
mm-hmm.
and again, don't answer anything you don't want to answer.
Right.
Okay? If I ask you something and you don't remember, just tell me you don't remember.
Right.
I'm not, I mean, I didn't have you write an autobiography before you got here or anything, so.
Right.
What is the first thing that you remember of when you found out or of what happened with your daughter?
Yeah, I was a single mom, 23, had two kids, and I had a babysitter that I thought was just super, and she was. The unfortunate thing was, as it turned out, she had a teenage son that was molesting my daughter, and she was three, and also another little girl who was three. And we didn't go to the police. We didn't really, at that time, I don't recall what we did, other than a friend of mine went out in the parking lot and talked to this teenager, but nothing else came of it. And I'm not even sure if they talked to the babysitter. So that was the first time that I realized something was going on, but what to do about it, I wasn't sure.
Well, and again, being 23 and a single mom, you were facing challenges every day enormous capacity anyway. How do I pay the bills? Do we have milk? Am I late for work? Do the kids have clean clothes?
Right,
I mean,
exactly.
Single moms are overwhelmed with the weight of the world already.
Exactly.
And this was basically the equivalent of a meteor crashing into your life. This is so unexpected and
yeah.
so unknown.
Right.
What do you do?
Yeah.
You know, and like I said, people don't know what to do.
Right.
And I will say there's nothing wrong with not knowing what to do, because that's our first reaction.
Right.
What the heck? What
right.
now? What do I do?
You kind of back up and think, oh, well, you know, it'll be okay.
Right.
And you think it's not making any impact on your young child, which
right.
it truly is. But a lot of parents don't realize that. they just kind of mark it off, say, well, that's life experience, and go on with their lives. But then their child is still having these problems dealing with what went on.
Right, yeah. Right. And a lot of times parents will say to me, well, it happened to my daughter, but she was too young to understand what happened. And that's actually not true. You know, there are children, before they're even able to speak, that right. have been sexually assaulted, that remember very vivid, clear details of being molested.
Right.
And they may not remember where they lived or where mommy was, but they remember graphic details when they were assaulted, and this was before they were able to speak.
And I think a lot of that, kids at that age, young babies actually, would then be afraid of men for some reason. And the parent couldn't realize, well, why are you afraid of Uncle Jim? He may not have been the one that did anything to the child, but relating to an adult, a male, or maybe somebody that wears a hat.
Right.
They could be afraid, and this is from childhood on.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And a lot of times, like I said, people just don't realize that it does impact the kid.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because the child behaves just fine. Mm-hmm. You know, they may be a little picky, like you said. They may be a little bit picky about certain things, like, mm-hmm. I hate the green blanket, or mm-hmm. I don't like guys that wear hats, or
right.
something weird
right.
that would seem weird to us, but to the child makes perfect sense.
It's stuck with them.
Right. Right. So, you found out somehow that your daughter was being assaulted.
Right.
And somebody talked to the person that had done the assaulting.
Right.
But you don't know if anyone said anything to the babysitter whose house it was happening at.
Exactly right.
Right. And being a long time ago,
yeah.
I don't expect you to remember it anyway. But
right after that, of course, we did change babysitters.
Right.
And I don't even recall, it's been a while, if we told the babysitter why.
Right.
We were getting new sitters, but we both did.
Right.
So that was kind of the end of that saga for an adult, for me. But then, you know, the daughter, my daughter, carried that with her. That was the beginning of, my gosh, you know, that shouldn't have happened.
Right.
So.
Right. But again, not knowing what to do, mm-hmm. you figured mm-hmm. you got her to a safe place.
Mm-hmm.
You changed babysitters. You ended the problem.
Right.
You took that risk away and you put her somewhere else that she was safe.
Right, exactly.
And like everything else in life, we learn from our mistakes. So next time you found a babysitter, you probably said, do you have any teenage sons? You know, do you have people that are going to come and go? Because until you have that experience with your child,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't occur to you that that happens.
Right.
You know, just the same as people who say, I've been running my dryer for 30 years. I've never had a dryer fire.
Right.
Well, all of a sudden, one day, your dryer catches fire. Now, all of a sudden, you're paranoid about running your laundry in the middle of the night.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
Until you have that experience,
true.
You don't know to be prepared or what signs to look for
true.
To avoid that experience again.
True.
So, now, you mentioned to me prior to us starting the recording
mm-hmm.
that there have been other incidents.
Mm-hmm,
so
right.
what other incidents do you remember? How did you find out? When did it happen? That kind of thing.
Okay. It's sad but true. Not too long ago, my daughter told me that when I took her to the doctor for a checkup, and I believe it was for kindergarten, and she was 5,
mm-hmm.
and the doctor said, you know, checked her blood pressure and gave her shots, whatever she needed, and they said, well, you can step out and go ahead and pay the bill, and I'll just talk to her for a minute. Well, I went ahead, not thinking anything. And just recently, my daughter told me that he had molested her. Now, this is a doctor. Had no idea. None at all. Until just recently.
So this was a doctor that you obviously knew before that day.
Or trusted.
You trusted to take your kids to him.
Yeah, he took care of the family. But here he was, a grown adult doctor. And, a 5-year-old girl. But I just recently found that out, so I can't go backtrack, and
right.
he's long gone, so
right.
thank heavens, yes.
But he, in what makes perfect sense, he said, I'm done with the exam,
mm-hmm.
Sally, you can go out and talk to the receptionist and
mm-hmm.
get the paperwork done,
mm-hmm.
I'm just going to talk to your daughter for a couple seconds,
right.
and you're ready to go.
Right.
And that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
And there's nothing about that that should make you think that
yeah.
he's going to set her on fire.
Yeah.
you know?
Nothing
or that
about
he's going to take her out and get in a car wreck, you know?
Right.
I mean, there's nothing about that scenario
no.
that should make us
no.
wonder what's next. I mean, He was done. He just wanted to talk to her alone. And
right.
And there are doctors who, you know, look for signs of child abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that's the case in your case at all, but mm-hmm. it's very possible that many doctors say, okay, parent, I'd like to have a minute with your child alone.
Right.
And they might ask the child, you know, how's your mom treat you? You get enough to eat? You know, do you and your brother fight?
Yeah, that's true too.
Do you have a dog? I mean, to kind of get a feel of if the child feels safe in the environment.
Right.
And again, I'm not suggesting that that's at all what's going on mm-hmm. or what happened with your child.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it doesn't seem unreasonable that a doctor would want to talk to a child alone.
Yeah, I didn't even question it.
No. Yeah, there's nothing about that seems odd.
Mm-mm, no. But, you know, and you've seen it in the paper and seeing it on the news, you really can't trust your children to be alone anywhere. Because it's teachers, and not often doctors that I know of, but teachers. And the churchmen are having, you know, a problem with children being molested. And it's just all coming out now.
Yeah.
Where years ago it didn't. It was just like, oh. And it's like saying you have a poison ivy. Nobody wants to be around you.
Right.
And you feel the same way. Well, I better not be around them anymore. So it's a very weird situation that has come down to this now that is being made public.
Yeah.
Yeah. And thank heavens people are talking about it.
Yeah.
So they can get help. Yeah.
It's time that we put the guilt and the shame on the aggressor.
Right.
And off of the families.
Exactly.
Who, like I said, if you don't know how to prepare for this because you've never experienced it.
Right.
You simply don't know what to do.
Right.
And it does not mean that it's your fault. It doesn't mean that you let it happen. It means that you don't know what to do.
Don't know what to do.
If an alien spaceship landed in the parking lot behind the building where we are right now,
mm-hmm.
it's pretty obvious that both of us would be pretty speechless and mm-hmm. not know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's something we've never experienced.
Right.
And for
right.
many, especially young single moms.
Right.
And you never had any experience being sexually assaulted when you were growing up?
No, I didn't. I never did. I was one of the few, I understand, that have never had any sexual assault.
So there was nothing from your childhood that mm-hmm. would make you extra cautious or make you
right.
overly protective or aware right. of these things at all. It just didn't right. occur to you that this would happen.
No. In those days, it's just like things like that didn't happen. You trusted the doctors. You trusted, you know,
right.
individuals in general.
Right.
With not a care that they're going to hurt my child. My goodness, that's my child.
Right.
So, no, it wasn't even something that was talked about in women's groups, you know, or
right.
get-togethers, you know, saying, oh, gosh, so-and-so is kind of creepy. I don't want him around my kid. Well, you didn't do that in those days.
Right.
So.
Right. You, that was probably, what, 70s?
Mm-hmm.
Through the 70s?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And from stereotypical information of the 70s, you knew to keep your kids away from people that were on drugs.
Right.
Or homeless people or drifters that were backpacking
right.
across the country. You knew
right.
you knew those dangers.
Right, exactly.
But even knowing those dangers, it didn't occur to you that sexual assault might be something that they would do.
Yeah, right.
You just knew that you didn't want your kids around people doing
right.
drugs, and you didn't want your kids around
right.
the drifters. You didn't really necessarily know why. You just knew you didn't want them around
right.
homeless people or certain categories of people.
Right.
But especially in the 70s, to think that an upstanding doctor who's
mm-hmm.
been treating your family for years
mm-hmm.
and a woman who opens her home to care for children
yeah, exactly.
because she loves them.
Exactly.
It doesn't occur to you that those are risky places.
Yeah. It's just, and it's sad because even now, not in the 70s, but even now, there's really a lack of safety for kids. That's
yeah.
how I feel. If I had to have kids right now go to a daycare, I would probably quit my job because you just don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of the daycare centers, they do background checks.
Mm-hmm.
And they have what I call a false sense of security.
Right.
To me, having a background check is the equivalent of putting new batteries in your smoke detector without cleaning your dryer vent.
No. Okay.
Because if someone has been already caught,
mm-hmm.
then they can't come and work for you.
Right.
But if they've never been caught,
right.
Maybe they're just that good, they're that sneaky, they're that manipulative.
Yeah.
that they haven't been caught yet.
Right.
Because statistically speaking, mm-hmm. and from personal experience, no aggressor sexually assaults only one child.
Oh.
Ever. And the emphasis I want to put on that is the reason that that is because if an aggressor only sexually assaulted one child ever, mm-hmm. that implies there's something about that child that caused them to do it.
Really?
It's not the child. It's the aggressor. It's the aggressor thinking the way they do that makes them sexually assault. They don't say, I'm going to get this girl because this girl's got some kind of hold or control over me. Mm-hmm. They say, I'm going to get this girl or this boy, whatever, because I have a need and my need overrides that child's right to be left alone. I mean, that they mm-hmm. don't actually think it word for word that way, mm-hmm. but that's what an aggressor does, is
they think.
It's about power and control, and their need, excuse the expression, their need to get off is greater than that child's right to be left alone.
Right.
No sure. child is the only one that was ever assaulted by that person. Ever. And, you know, I've talked with a couple of aggressors, and people say, how can you do that? How can you talk to someone who sexually assaults a child? Mm-hmm. And I said, because if I don't help them to see what they're doing is harming people, they're going to keep doing it.
Right, right.
And again, we know it's not just a one-time, one-child thing. So I would imagine you said the first time it happened, and you said you only recently found out about this episode with your daughter at the doctor.
Right.
Was there other incidents that you found out around the time that it happened?
Well, it seems to me there was one other time that I didn't find out about until later. Well, maybe it was, you know, the sad thing is that a lot of times you don't find out until later, because
right.
it's just the way it is. They hold it in. But unfortunately, I had my daughter was also, well, my second husband had two brothers. And the one brother, I understand, used to babysit my two kids, my son and my daughter. And they were, oh, probably six or seven, something like that. Mm-hmm. And I understand that he molested my daughter. But I didn't find out, like, right then, as far as I know. But my daughter's reaction was, when we went to visit my in-laws, she went upstairs and locked herself in the bathroom. Now, I don't know if that was the right timing, if that was after it happened or before, or she just happened to lock herself in. But I was never clear on that. And again, I was young and kind of dumb. So we kind of brushed that aside.
Right.
And went on from there. You know, everything's happy camper. You know, it's like, what more can we do? We talked to him. Somebody did.
Right.
It wasn't me.
Right.
But it's just, you know, it's sad because there's no definite direction. And when you find out about something, who you should talk to, who is the one that should talk to the aggressor.
Right.
Should you get the law involved? Should you talk to their mom and dad? Should you, you know, it's just a big iffy situation.
Right. Again, more of the unknown.
Yeah.
More of the what do I do?
Exactly. Exactly.
Right.
But there was just no direction, and that was back in the 80s, I think.
Right.
Yeah. So, that's the third time for my girl. Mm-hmm. And
now you said you have a son
mm-hmm.
as well.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Did you ever hear of anyone messing with him through any of this?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. So as far as you know, people were just picking on her and
right.
Okay.
Right. And she was a cute little thing. He wasn't a bad looking kid either. But another thing you run into in families, and this is all the idea of not accepting, is that her brother won't accept things that have happened to her. And that brings it down to a family level of him saying, oh, don't even tell anybody. It's over. Forget it.
Okay.
But she's not forgetting it. This happened to her.
Right.
So it involves the whole family understanding, and that's what we don't have in the society today, is people, the families coming together and not spoiling the child that got molested, but understanding her feelings.
Right.
And if she's having a bad day or a bad week or whatever, you know, somebody talk to her on a kind level.
Right.
So.
Right. Finding that compassion that mm-hmm. it really was that bad for her.
Yeah.
Whatever it is that happened, whether
exactly.
it was a touch, whether it was a rape, whether it was a beating.
Right.
Whatever it was, understanding that to that child, something's off.
Right. Exactly.
And they need to find that comfort level again with their family, because
right.
their trust issues have you know, probably gone through the roof at this point.
Right.
Especially when it's somebody, like you said, these were people in her life that she was told to trust.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
oh,
mom trusts these people,
mm-hmm.
so I trust these people, because mm-hmm. mom wouldn't leave me with somebody she didn't trust, so
yeah.
this should be okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, my caution to anyone that's listening to this, be careful what kind of babysitters you get, and if they have kids, mainly male teenagers, mm-hmm. be very, very careful. See if they're going to be home when the mom is babysitting, you know, whoever's babysitting.
Right.
But really be on guard, and even take a half day off and show up early. See what's going on.
Right. Right. And I'd also like to add, I know in your case it was males that were assaulting your daughter.
Right.
But there are cases where it is teenage girls.
Right.
Or young girls that are acting out abuse that's happened to them. They're acting out that abuse with their friends or with, you know, their playmates that mom's babysitting or whatever.
You're exactly right.
So
that's right.
It's not just the males. I want to make
right.
that clear.
Right.
I agree with your comment 100%.
Yeah.
Show up unexpected and find out what happens with your kid when they think you're not there.
Right. Exactly.
But it is important to remember, sexual abuse happens to boys.
Mm-hmm.
It exactly. happens to them from men and from women.
Right.
As well as from other children.
Yeah.
I know a family that the child was sexually assaulted and then went with their playmates.
Mm.
And, you know, what are you going to do? It's 2, 4, 5-year-old kids playing together.
Right.
You know, they're fine.
Right.
And turns out that the one child was playing sexual games with the other child because that's what they learned from their aggressor.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
And the aggressor in that child's life was somebody they knew, somebody they trusted.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't know this was wrong, because no one told them this was wrong.
Right.
So they played these games with another child.
Oh.
And that child grew up with the idea. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, it's not always male aggressors,
mm-hmm.
and it's not always female victims.
Right. Right.
But in your case,
it was. Yeah.
Each time.
Yeah.
Okay. Did that change how you thought about men? I would imagine from a mom's standpoint, I would be questioning my own parenting abilities as well as my own sanity.
Really.
But I think that's a given when you're hit with I don't know what to do next
right.
so many times.
Right.
That's going to be a common theme, but did it change your perception of other people? Who you trusted, whether it was men or women?
It did. I wasn't too concerned because it was my daughter that was being molested. But I wasn't too concerned about the women in her life
mm-hmm.
at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely, I looked at men differently.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I don't think I want you to be around. You know,
right.
my daughter's here. And actually, when I started dating
mm-hmm.
Again, and I wouldn't bring them home.
Right.
Because I didn't want them to even know where I lived.
Right.
I would meet them somewhere. Because I didn't want to bring in a foreign element into my family. Yeah.
Right. So instead of having normal dating relationships, getting to know somebody more, and then introducing them to your kids and so
right.
on.
Right.
You kind of had the stealth mode of dating, where I'll go out and date, and that's me dating.
Right.
But my house is my house, and my kids, and nobody comes here. And
right, exactly.
It sounds like even though you had to modify your behavior, it sounds like you really, without realizing it, took some really big steps in protecting your kids.
Well, being a mom and a single mom, It's kind of like being a lion.
Yeah.
You know, you watch your cubs and you protect them. So
yeah,
I did the best I could. Yeah.
But there are a lot of moms, single moms, mm-hmm. who don't take that step.
Right.
There are a lot of moms, single moms, married moms, whatever, mm-hmm. parents in general, who mm-hmm. think, well, similar to how you did with that first babysitter son.
Right.
I've removed that person from my child's life. My child is safe again.
Right.
And there are some people who don't understand this can happen again. In fact, children that are sexually assaulted at a very young age mm-hmm. are more likely to be sexually assaulted again throughout their life.
Right.
Because
unfortunately,
they already had it happen.
Right.
It seems familiar, even though they don't like it and they don't want it. It's something that seems familiar, and here we go again.
Yeah.
I know this. I yeah. don't like it. I don't want it.
Yeah.
But I know this. So, and again, if nobody talks to children the first time it happens and says, you know, somebody did something to you they shouldn't have done, it's not your fault.
Right.
You know, it's not my fault. It's not your fault. It's not your brother's fault. It's the fault of the person who did it.
Mm-hmm.
And they shouldn't have done that. And right. explain to the child, you're okay. You're right. going to be protected.
Right.
You know, you're safe. They're not coming around. If anybody ever does anything that seems familiar like this, like
right.
what they started saying and doing before they hurt you, I want you to tell me, because you're not going to be in trouble, and it's the only way I can protect you.
It's true.
And yeah, it's a lot true. Of times with kids, their gut reacts to what's happening more than faster than their brain reacts. Children will instinctively not like something,
mm-hmm.
even if they've never experienced it before, and they won't know why. Their gut is telling them there's something wrong with this.
Mm.
I know some parents, and again, this was a lot in the 70s, they talk about a good touch and a bad touch.
Oh, okay.
And they would say, you know, your private parts, is anything covered by a swimsuit? And nobody has the right to touch that except your parents if they're giving you a bath, or a doctor if they're examining you. Well, there's a big problem with that, because yeah. as you just said, there yeah. was a doctor examining her.
Yeah.
To her, that was something that was supposed to happen. That was a doctor touching her in her bathing suit area.
Right.
There was nothing that she had learned that would tell her to tell on him.
No, not at all.
And you said you only recently found this out.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, look how many years it took for her to finally say, mm-hmm. oh, by the way.
Yeah, by the way.
There was a bad touch by a doctor. You know?
It's too sad. But, and I know there's a lot of, and I know you probably run into a lot of older people that think, oh my gosh, yeah, you know, different things happened to me through my life.
Right.
But I didn't know who to tell.
Right.
Two, I didn't know who would believe me.
Right.
That's a real hard one, especially when you've got years gone by.
Right.
And you think, well, that Uncle Fred couldn't have done that. You know, it's like he's a good guy. Well, okay.
Right, right. And that's exactly true. A lot of times, children aren't believed because the person that is being accused of mm-hmm. doing this mm-hmm. is somebody that the family knows as a loving, caring person.
Right.
And the problem is, and I hate to sound all Star Wars-y, but these people have a dark side to them.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's very common for pedophiles to buddy up to parents, to be great friends with parents, and to, you know, get close to the kids on a level that's acceptable to the parents.
Right.
So, I would say, yeah.
Okay.
I'm just gonna say we directed the conversation a little bit. Sally just handed me a note of something that she wanted to talk about, and we're going to kind of abruptly change gears a little bit.
Okay.
So go ahead.
Well, unfortunately, my daughter had been through a lot, and the last time that I realized that she was having a serious problem by being molested or raped, and it was by a real strong family member, close family member, And he was someone that everybody loved. We trusted him. I won't get into details as far as how he was related, but no one would have ever thought that this older man would molest my daughter, and he did. And because of that, and it was hard for me to believe because we were so close, and I kind of gave her the idea of, well, really, I don't believe what you're telling me. And she was so frustrated and didn't know who else to talk to, and she couldn't talk to me. So she actually left home. She ran away. And she ended up in another state, went by bus. And sadly but true, she told me later that she felt safer being with a bunch of strangers than she did with being with family. So we finally did locate her, got her back home. But still, I don't think anything was really settled. And to this day, I don't think it's ever really been settled. This is what this man did to her. We had the police involved. They didn't do much. At that time, they were kind of new on this child molestation thing. So they didn't do much. They talked to him. Mm-hmm. And that was about it. He didn't get fined. He didn't get smacked on the wrist. He didn't get put in jail for a week. Nothing. Nothing really happened. So that was the last problem that I know that she had had.
Right.
And I'm sorry to this day that I didn't listen to her and sit down and say, okay, honey, tell me, and what can we do? What do you want me to do? So that's my last comment on that.
Right. So this was somebody that you knew very well.
Very well in the family.
Somebody that had been in your life for years.
Right.
Somebody that you knew very well, had no reason to mistrust.
Right, exactly.
There was never anything said or done prior to this incident that would even hint at this happening.
Never. Mm-mm.
And I would guess, with what your daughter had been through previous in her life, when this happened, it probably had to be even harder to believe than the previous events, because not only is she saying this has happened again, but now she's accusing someone that you know.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't a doctor that you
mm-hmm.
see, you know, a couple times a year for
right.
medical exams. This isn't a babysitter's son that you don't know
right.
well. This isn't, you know, a brother of someone. This
right.
this was a family member that you knew.
Close family member.
And
right.
had no reason, and I would think as a mom, that had to be so hard to believe, because you have a daughter who has this background of sexual assault.
Right.
Who probably, you said she was a teenager at
mm-hmm.
the time?
Right.
She probably had teenager rebellion and arrogance.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
Mom, you don't know what you're talking about attitude. You know, maybe
right.
not all the time, but I'm sure she had that.
Right.
And so you have to factor in, why is she doing this?
Right.
You know, and again, not to accuse the victims, but as a mom dealing with it,
right,
you're basically smacked in the face with a board, and you're like, you got to be kidding me.
Exactly. That was my thought at the time.
This can't possibly be happening.
Can't be true.
Yeah.
Cannot be true.
Yeah.
And you're right. At the time, my daughter was the teenage 13, 14-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, she wanted to change her name at one time before all this happened. And at that point, I said, go ahead. Whatever name you want to go by, I don't care.
Right.
So, you know, and all other moms can relate to that. When the girls get to teenage, boys are a little different. But when girls get to that age, yeah, it's all a matter of, okay, whatever you want to do, go ahead. Just so it doesn't hurt her.
Right.
You know,
you
safeguard him from rides in cars with other guys from school and stuff like that.
Right, and changing her name isn't the same as, Mom, I want to get a permanent tattoo on my face.
Yeah, right.
I want
right.
to get my nose pierced and run a chain
yeah.
to my ear or something.
Yeah.
You know. And again, nothing against people that have tattoos or piercings. I'm just saying that for a 13-year-old girl to say, Mom,
yeah.
I want to change my name,
yeah,
that's really the least of a mom's
right.
worries.
Right. So I'm like, sure, you go ahead. You know, that's fine with me.
Right, but looking back, you're thinking that the name change had something to do with the assault and her trying to find who she was
It could have been. It could have been.
Through that?
I hadn't thought of it that way. That may have been at the same time. But, yeah, name change was no big deal. But I had a hard time, a really hard time believing that what she was telling me.
Right.
And then when she took off, it made me feel like, was she lying about that and that's why she took off?
Yeah, maybe she was trying to get back at you
yeah.
or something because you
yeah.
wouldn't let her go to a movie with a friend or
right,
because
girls, the boy or something.
Girls
yeah.
that age can think yeah. things and do things that
oh,
the rest
yeah.
of us are like, are you kidding me?
Exactly.
So, I mean, yeah, that wouldn't be unheard of
mm-hmm.
to think that she would lash
mm-hmm.
out and tell a lie and
right.
and then run away.
Right. But then I did confront the
aggressor.
The aggressor.
Mm-hmm.
And he did admit it. He did admit it to me, and I was just floored. I was just, because all my trust went right out the door.
Yeah, because this was someone that you
yeah.
said you trusted.
Close family member.
With your children. I mean, this
yeah.
was somebody that you trusted
yeah.
for things in your life.
Exactly. So, yeah, he had no rhyme or reason. Just, I don't know, I'm sorry it happened. Well, that sorry didn't get it, you know.
Right.
But then again, I had my daughter who had taken off and come back. And, you know, well, life was a mess at the time.
Total chaos.
Yeah, yeah. And it's still, I guess we eventually talked about it. But now, since we're so close, we really have time to sit and discuss things like this. And hopefully with the Stop Feeding the Predators, she's going to help more than just me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the whole idea of her organization. So I hope that does a lot of good, and I hope my revealing what I've been through with her will help someone else.
Now, I've asked this question in other interviews,
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of a difficult question
mm-hmm.
because I'm taking all of your hindsight that you have now
right.
and throwing it back. What would... As what you know today,
mm-hmm.
what would you go back and tell that 23-year-old single mom who again, you know, however it was revealed,
right.
what would you go back and tell your 23-year-old self of how to handle what happened to your daughter, this the very first time that you found out something happened to her? What would you tell that mom to do?
I would tell that mom to listen to their children, even if they're 3, 4, 5,
mm-hmm.
or if they're younger than that, if they have a strange reaction to different people, so you're picking up on that. But listen to your children. If they say, oh, I don't like so-and-so, well, little kids usually don't come out with that unless something happened somehow.
Right.
So if your child's around someone and say, Mom, I don't like him, or I don't like her.
Right.
Then listen and set them aside, you know, get them aside really nicely and say, why don't you like them? Because it could have been that that's their way of saying, well, you know, they touch me here, or whatever, whatever.
Right.
But and the other thing is, being a young mom, and any young moms, you have to make your children aware of strangers or anyone, family members, touching you. Because a lot of little kids, of course in kindergarten, I think they're teaching that now. But if you get kids younger than that, and someone's touching them, kind of have a talk with them about that. It doesn't have to be a detailed, you know, if they touch here, this.
Right.
Yeah. But let them make, you know, that it's okay to come to you.
Right.
Yeah, that's the main thing.
Right, and I tell a lot of parents the good touch, bad touch thing, I say
mm-hmm.
that doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of reasons for that. And the biggest reason is sex feels good.
Mm.
You know, rape doesn't feel good.
Right.
Sex feels good.
Right.
And if someone touches someone in a sexual way, the body reacts the same as we're sitting here having a conversation. If I suddenly, you know, step on your foot,
mm-hmm.
you're going to feel pain, even though we have a good rapport and, you know, I'm not meaning you any harm, but if
right.
I step on your foot, you'll still feel pain.
Right.
And sexual assault is the same way. If someone touches sexual parts, it is going to feel good. Even though the child's gut says, this is wrong, I don't like this, I don't want this.
Right.
The body reacts. And that's why a lot of little boys, teenage boys and even younger, that's why a lot of boys have trouble come forward, because their body reacts.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And because
that's
their
true.
Body reacts, they think they must have wanted it.
Right.
And so they have even more guilt, and they can't tell because, well, my body reacted, so I must have liked it.
Right.
I mean, it's a little bit easier to see that in boys' reactions than in girls' reactions.
Right.
But basically, you know, if somebody rubs your back, it's going to feel good.
Right.
So if somebody you hate starts rubbing your back, you might hate them, but you might think, wow, you know, the back rub feels really good, even though I hate them. So when you talk to children about sexual assault and you talk about good touch, bad touch, to a child's mind,
that doesn't work.
That is confusing.
Yes, yes.
Because if my body's reacting and it feels good,
that must be a good
touch. That must be a good touch.
Right.
But my gut is telling me it's icky, and my gut is telling me I don't like this, and my gut is telling me I need to get away, but this is somebody I'm supposed to trust, and my body's reacting that it feels good, and it just confuses the socks off of kids.
Right.
It really does.
That's true. That's true.
So I think it's important, like you said, talk to your children about if they're touched.
Right.
Not a good touch or a bad touch. Does anyone ever touch you?
Right.
Tell me about people that touch you.
Right.
You know, and it could be a teacher gives me a pat on the back. That's great. Sounds like you're doing good in school. And,
right.
You know, Uncle so-and-so touches my pinky toe all the time.
Right.
Okay, well, Uncle Joe's kind of weird, but are you okay with Uncle Joe touching your pinky toe? And
right.
I think that's the question. When you ask them about people that are touching them,
mm-hmm.
The next thing to say is, do you like when your teacher pats you on the back?
Right, right.
No, I don't like it because it makes me feel embarrassed in front of the class that she is, you know, making me feel different.
Right.
Okay, so even if the teacher had good intentions, the child doesn't like it,
mm-hmm.
Don't do it.
Right.
You know, how do you feel about Uncle So-and-so always touching your pinky toe? I think it's silly. He's the goofiest guy I know.
Yeah.
Okay, well, does Uncle Joe or Uncle whoever ever touch you in a way that you don't like?
Right.
No, he just touches my pinky toe and tells me that's his favorite little piggy and,
oh,
you know, nothing ever happens.
Right, right.
And the important thing is, ask them about being touched.
Mm-hmm.
Not good touch or bad touch. Does anybody touch you?
Right.
And the biggest thing with kids is, if you let them talk, they will.
Yeah, take time for them. Take time for them.
Yeah.
Sit down in a quiet place. You could even be eating an ice cream, a bowl of ice cream, and say, hey, let's just sit down and talk for a little bit.
Right.
But be one-on-one with them, quiet around, nobody else disturbing you.
Right.
And you know, really get that heart-to-heart, so you know that they'll tell you anything.
Right.
And vice versa. Yeah.
And listen to what they say. Like you
right.
said, there might be a certain person that they don't like.
Oh, yeah.
Or there might be, like you said, if it's somebody with hats, well, maybe there's somebody that always wears plaid, and the child doesn't necessarily not like that person, but maybe it's plaid
yeah.
that they don't like.
Exactly.
And why is it you don't like, you know, well, I don't like his shirt. Well, why don't you like his shirt? You know, well, because it reminds me of so-and-so, and so-and-so did something to me.
There you go.
And again, if you listen long enough,
yeah, yeah,
kids will tell you anything, especially if it's stuff that they're weirded out about.
Right.
If you give them that one-on-one time.
Right.
And they know you're not in a hurry, you aren't going to have to leave for a meeting, it's just, you know, me and Mom sitting and having ice cream and talking or
right.
whatever.
Just take time for them.
Yeah.
And I know, because I've been there with young kids and working and paying all the bills and making all the decisions, and you just have to sit down one-on-one with the boy and the girl
right.
and say, okay, let's just talk.
Right.
So that will bring him bring you closer to your kids.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Instead of buying them something.
Right. Okay. And I know a lot of times, the only times parents make that time to talk to their kids is if something's wrong.
Right, exactly.
They have to tell them that their hamster died or...
Right, your grades are awful.
Right, your mm-hmm. grades are bad, or Uncle So-and-so is going to come visit and he's mm-hmm. going to have your room, so we need to move you into, you know, mm-hmm. another room. I mean, it seems like the only time parents talk to kids is when the parents want to tell the kids something.
Right, not ask them anything.
Right.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And if you can open that dialogue with your kid,
right.
hey, I'd like to sit down and talk with you. I don't even know who your best friend is.
Yeah,
you know, tell me about your day. What'd you do today?
There you go. Exactly. Exactly.
And I know for single parents especially, whether it's man or woman, single mm-hmm. parents don't necessarily have the support system
right.
that married couples do.
Right. Exactly.
And it can be really hard to find this time for your kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
But from what you've told me, I wish I knew then. I wish I, you know, knew what you what you know today. I wish I'd known it then.
Right, exactly.
Taking the time to listen to your kids.
Yeah.
To have a sit down listen.
Yeah.
Is so important.
Yeah.
And watching how children play.
Mm-hmm.
And then asking them later, you know, I noticed you always do this. Why do you do that? Do you like doing that? Is, you know, or whatever. And if you if you keep it light and silly,
right,
kids
right.
will tell you.
Oh yeah,
all kinds of stuff.
They have no barriers. They just will tell it like it is.
Yeah,
is the honesty of children. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they just have to have time.
Yeah. So what I'd like to do for the last 15 minutes is talk about something happy and positive.
Okay.
And that's because previous 45 minutes of our conversation is pretty heavy duty stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And when people tune in and listen to Stop Feeding the Predators, I mean, yes, they're tuning in to learn, you know, what should I do? What can I do? What should I have done? What do I need to watch out for? Whatever. And like you said, even if it's a parent, you know, whose child was assaulted 30, 40 years ago.
Right.
A lot of times parents are still hanging on to that stuff, that guilt of, I don't know what to do, and I didn't know what to do, and I should have done
more.
Something. I should have done something.
Something, yes.
And,
yes.
You know, it can be overwhelming. But there are good things about being a single parent.
That's true. That is true.
You can take your kids
yeah.
anywhere, anytime, because it's you're the one making the decision.
Yeah.
So what can you tell me about the happy, positive thing of being a single parent?
I'll tell you, it was terrific. It was terrific because, like Lynn is saying, you can go out to eat, have whatever you want to eat. Praise the Lord, if you get any extra money, you can kind of splurge and have dessert before dinner. I mean, just small things, but the kids remember that stuff.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be big, elaborate, I'm going to buy you a motorcycle or, you know, younger kids, who knows. But just spending time with them again. Spending time and just letting them know that I appreciate them being so good. Because usually single moms are the only ones to monitor the kids. I know some of them get out of control, especially teenagers. But fortunately, I didn't have that situation. But younger kids, just appreciate them, listen to them, and enjoy them. Because they grow up so fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, can you tell me, was there anything you guys did on a regular basis that was like a silly favorite activity or a trip that you guys went on? I mean, did you have like rituals of silly things you did to make your family all of a sudden be like, you know, happy? I mean, special meals or?
Well, I know we'd go to Isley's and have their humongous sundaes. We'd have those first, and then if the kids were hungry, we'd eat food.
So you had dessert first as
as
your big deal of a treat out. You'd go out to dinner and have a big sundae?
Yeah, have a big sundae, and they didn't forget that either.
Yeah.
But again,
as a single mom, you could decide that, and nobody
exactly.
was there to say, hey,
exactly.
you know, don't have dessert first. They'll get full and won't want a hamburger or whatever.
Right, who cares? Yeah.
Right.
It was just me and the kids, and I was young, and had the two kids, kind of grew up with them.
Right.
But if it hadn't been the financial situation that I was in, with no money, and a job paying $90 a week, it was kind of rough.
Yeah.
But we made it, and I'm very proud of both of them. And so I think we survived all we've been through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned earlier that your daughter recently told you about the doctor's office visit
right.
situation.
Right.
So it sounds like the conversations you and your daughter have drastically changed. What's your relationship with your daughter now?
It is super. We are closer now than we've ever been, except when she was about 5. And we get along great. We depend on each other.
Mm-hmm.
We help each other. Something comes up, we say, I'm there. What do you need?
Mm-hmm.
And we have really grown very close, and I'm so proud. I'm so proud that she's my baby girl. So, yeah.
Isn't it amazing how when you open up conversations about horrible things that have happened, You can get that closeness.
Right. Plus, it's a sad thing that I wasn't there because I didn't know what to do through the years when things happen. But now we can discuss what's happened, and then we go on from there.
Right.
We'll say, okay, look what you've done. Look how you've made such a great life. And not mean, not nasty. You're not holding a grudge or a chip on your shoulder. So you become a real person, even though all the things that happened to her.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it's really neat the way your relationship has changed. And again, this is to encourage parents, whether you're a single mom or a single dad.
Right.
And whether something happens to your daughter or your son, and regardless of who the aggressor was, take time for your kids and talk with your kids about the most awful things you don't want to talk about. You know, privately spend time with each child. Mm-hmm. And get to know them and show them that you're somebody that they can trust. You are their parent. You are going to protect them. And when things happen that you don't know what to do, allow yourself that you don't know what to do. And don't take on the guilt that it's somehow your fault because you don't know what to do. Stop Feeding the Predators is here, and there are lots of other organizations that we can help refer you to. If you don't know what to do, get in touch with Stop Feeding the Predators, and we'll help you find somebody who does know what to do. And many times, it's just a matter of keeping the lines of communication open. Now, Sally, you said that you and your daughter talked about what happened at the doctor's office. I imagine you've talked about other things that have happened.
We have.
Through the years. And it sounds like your daughter knows that it was the aggressor's fault each time.
Right.
And that she doesn't blame you because she understands that you didn't know what to do and you did the best you could.
That's
with
true.
Each incident that came along.
That is true.
And I think that's wonderful. Now, sorry, I just completely lost my train of thought. You have a son, and what is your relationship with your son, your daughter's relationship with your son? Is that something that you see as communication continues, that will improve?
I don't really know. He lives in another state. And he had a hard time believing that all this had happened to my daughter, his
mm-hmm.
sister.
Mm-hmm.
So he's kind of like, oh, no, that didn't happen. Don't even worry about it. It was a long time ago. So he and I are not all that close physically because he's in another state.
Right.
But we're close as far as family, but not like a mother-daughter.
Right.
Yeah. And,
right.
you know, and he's got his life. He's doing fine, so... And as far as I know, he's never been molested or anything.
Right.
At least he's never told me about it.
Right.
So that's kind of where we stand.
Yeah. Well, and from what you're telling me, the more you and your daughter talk, the closer your relationship.
Right.
And the more you guys are able to process what happened in the past.
Right.
So if I may offer a suggestion.
Sure.
Think of the conversations that you didn't have with your daughter all those years.
Mm-hmm.
And think about the conversations that you don't want to have with your son currently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, where you and your daughter were
right.
to where you are now is a direct result of the conversations you've had.
Right.
You know, you said that, you know, people weren't prosecuted, the police were involved, but they didn't do much.
Right.
So your relationship with your daughter changed because of the communication, not because somebody went to prison or because somebody was punished for what they'd done.
True.
It was all about communicating. So if I may, I'll encourage you to have the conversations with your son that you and he probably don't want to have.
Yeah, that's true.
Sit down with him sometime when he comes into town sometime.
Right.
Sit down with him quietly and say, hey, I'd like to talk to you about this.
Yeah.
It's make possible... It's possible that he may have been sexually assaulted by the babysitter's son as well.
Oh, that could be.
And he's trying to forget.
That could be.
It could be that he's mad at his sister because he liked that babysitter, mm-hmm. and he had to change babysitters, and it was her fault.
That's true.
Or it could be that he just doesn't want to talk about it because it's icky and it's awful and nobody likes to think about sexual assault.
I kind of think that's where it's going. Yeah, I think that's what it is, but you're right.
But until you have that awful conversation with him,
that's right,
you're not going to know.
I should, and I will do that.
So, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just saying, looking at the communication over your life.
Right. Right.
When you and your daughter finally had those horrible conversations that you never wanted to have,
right,
your relationship with her changed drastically.
That's true. That is true.
And it would be wonderful to see the closeness that you and your daughter have to also be between you and your son.
Right.
Because moms need their sons as much as moms need their daughters.
Yeah. It's just too bad he lives in another state, though.
Yeah.
Because being close is one thing, and physically being close is another thing.
Right.
So we just don't have the chance to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
And it can be difficult to do something like that over the phone.
Oh, yeah.
Especially
a
long-distance phone call, because you don't know if he's in the middle of making dinner or you're going to have to leave for an appointment soon or whatever.
Right. Or somebody's listening in the room behind us or whatever.
Right, right. Yeah. If he's got you on speakerphone, it's not necessarily the best time to say, hey, can we talk about sexual assault? You know? And again, it could just be as simple as his comfort level's not there.
Right, right.
You know, and I would suggest, you know, respect that. But I would also encourage you to reach out to him and say, your sister and I have talked about the sexual assault she's been through.
Right.
And it's made us closer.
Right.
And
he's not accepting any of it.
Right. And if you've ever been assaulted, I'm unaware of it. And if you ever were, I'd like to know, because it wasn't your fault.
Right.
You know, and that's a big thing with family, is that sometimes people are afraid they're going to be blamed.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And if I think I'm at fault, I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah.
You know.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay.
So
I will do that.
My advice. I'm not supposed to give advice, but
okay.
So we have just about 4 minutes left, and what I would like to do is, you know, I've introduced you as Sally, a woman whose daughter was sexually assaulted throughout her childhood, and If you don't want to, that's okay, but I'm going to ask if you'd reveal who you actually are.
Yeah, I'm Ashley Lynn's mother. I'm her mom. So this is what we've been talking about, but I'm so proud of her starting the Stop Feeding the Predators, because through all she's been through, this is her chance to help people. And I do hope that people listen. They call if they need help. It's a nonprofit organization. She's doing a super job. I couldn't be more proud of her. But I am Lynn's mom. So.
And I'd also like to say that for all the conversations that we have had, we have never sat down and talked to this extent. So what people on the radio are hearing today is the very first time we've had this kind of conversation. We talked about getting together earlier and discussing it, and we decided that it would be better to do it this way. We will have a follow-up interview where we will talk candidly about what has happened and what we've been through. And again, we don't share graphic details. But I would like to thank City of Angels Recovery Radio for allowing us this time. I'd like to thank everyone who has listened in, and I would like to thank Sally, my mom, mm-hmm. for being so open and willing to talk about what she went through as a mom, so that we can help other moms and dads to help their children. And I would like everyone to know our phone number for Stop Feeding the Predators is 614-403-4545. And even if you're out of state, you are more than welcome to call our number, and we will try and find someone in your area that can help you with what you've been through. And again, healing starts here.